ESPN Radio, 1392.5. It's The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Thank you so much for joining us on this blessed Sunday morning. We know you've got a lot of options out there. We know you've got a lot of things going on these days. And we appreciate you listening to us on this Sunday morning. On today's show, it's another NFL Sunday. You can listen live, as Brent Musburger used to say, to the Bengals on our sister station, 92.1 Classic Rock at 1 o'clock today. We'll preview that game. The NBA season refuses to end. Major League Baseball is down to its final four. But if we're having a tough time hearing anything through our headphones today, it's because there's too much money in our ears. After going 4 out of 4 in our NFL point spread picks last week and giving you both American League underdogs, Houston and Tampa Bay, as outright underdog winners in their series in the Major League Baseball playoffs this past week. And if you don't believe us, feel free to check out our podcast of this show, which is usually posted shortly after the show ends on Sunday mornings most weeks. That podcast can be found on our website, WLXG.com. That's WLXG.com. Look for The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor there. So make sure you join in on the winnings with the most profitable segment in Lexington radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks, coming up later in the show. But first, what a difference a week makes. That's what Mark Stoops said after last night's game. And this time, he's right. We'll start this show exactly the same way as we had the last 2 weeks. Last night at Kroger Field, not Kroger's Field. By the way, I was driving by that field this morning at 7 o'clock because some of us come in here, we prepare for our show, unlike other people in this town. We prepare for our show. We do a little preparation, some show prep. The lights are still on there. I mean, what's with the electricity bill? I don't know why. Why'd they keep the lights on all night long? 7 o'clock this morning, the light's still on at the football field. I digress. Last night at Kroger Field, it was another game where the stats told you lies. Team A got more first downs than Team B, 18-10. Team A outgained Team B, 296-157. Team A had almost a 10-minute advantage in time of possession. And Team A ran 84 plays while Team B ran 53. So, of course, Team B wins the game in decisive fashion as Kentucky seemed to be outplayed but won the game 24-2. People of my age group, of my ilk, remember the music group CNC Music Factory from back in the day. 1991, they released a song called Things That Make You Go, Hmm. Arsenio Hall, my favorite late-night talk show host of that time, because I thought I was cooler than I really was, always made jokes during his monologue and prefaced them by saying, things that make you go, hmm. When handicapping last night's Kentucky-Mississippi State game, seeing the line out in the desert with Kentucky -3 after losing their first two games both against the spread and straight up, that's something that made you go, hmm. But the desert doesn't make mistakes. No matter what the touts out in the desert try to get you to spend their $50 to call their 1-900 hotline that's picked 99% winners this century tries to tell you, Kentucky outplayed their opponents the first two games of the season, although they lost both contests. Whenever you don't know which path to take in life, follow the money. More often than not, if you follow the money, that answers a lot of mysteries in the world. Going into last night's game, yes, Kentucky, 0-2 straight up and against the spread, both in the desert and the real world. They were the only team in the SEC that had lost both games that way. No other team in the conference had. And here comes Mississippi State rolling into town, coming off a two-game streak in which they both had defeated defending national champions on the road at LSU and lost at home to lowly Arkansas. So how in the world was Kentucky favored in this game when 2 weeks ago KJ Costello set an SEC record for passing yards? Once again, the desert knows more than conventional wisdom. That's why they build billion-dollar casinos out there, and we're looking at the value menu at McDonald's. If I had told you before the season that Mississippi State would score 42 more points against LSU than against Kentucky, I don't think we would have had any believers of that here on The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, ESPN Radio 1392.5. So how did Kentucky win last night? A way nobody expected them to win, especially if you looked at the numbers from the first two games of the season. Pass defense. Before last night, the Kentucky pass defense had the worst efficiency in all of college football. And last night they had 6 interceptions for the first time since 1993 against Florida. In typical Kentucky fashion, Steve Spurrier and the Gators still won that game. How do you lose a game when you pick off the opposing quarterback seven times? That was typical Kentucky football of that era, but that's another story for another day. If you watched the game last night, they took a page out of the book of Bill Belichick. Before Belichick took over the Patriots on their dynasty run the last 20 years, he was with Bill Parcells as defensive coordinator of the Giants during their glory years in the 80s and early 90s. In January 1991, the Giants and Bills played in the Super Bowl, and they got there in completely different fashion. The Giants used tough defense in a running game, while the Buffalo Bills had a hurry-up offense that looked dominating as any offense in the history of the league before or since, winning the AFC Championship game that year 51-3 over the Raiders. Buffalo had four Hall of Famers on offense alone. They were a seven-point favorite going up against the Giants in that Super Bowl. But Belichick and Parcells came up with a game plan to have a three-man rush, and sometimes a two-man rush, let the Bills run whenever they wanted, while allowing receivers to catch short passes and punishing them after the catch. Every single TV expert going into that Super Bowl back in 1991, they all took Buffalo. Well, the Giants won that game because of their defense. And a copy of that actual game plan that Belichick came up with for that game is sitting in the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio as we speak. That's how good it was. Watching that game last night, I couldn't help but be reminded of that Super Bowl because that's what it appeared Kentucky was doing against Mississippi State by allowing them to have short passes if they wanted them. And like Buffalo in that Super Bowl, Mississippi State was too stubborn to change their ways to adapt to what Kentucky was giving them. Mike Leach has been around for a long time. He's never scored fewer than 2 points in a game. Mike Leach tried 70 passes last night and 14 runs. Even though Mississippi State had 275 yards passing, it took them 70 passes to get it. And Kentucky allowed only three of third down conversions on 17 tries when the average third down to make was over 8 yards. That's a lot. And of course, two of those six interceptions that Kentucky got were at the goal line, preventing Mississippi State scores. So as much as the defense had been a lot maligned for the first 2 weeks, they won the game for Kentucky last night. The Kentucky defense was so good that KJ Costello, the toast of college football 2 weeks ago, setting records at when they played LSU, was benched last night. And they were so good that after the game, Mike Leach is already to clean house at Mississippi State, saying that he needs to purge the malcontents. Sounds like me growing up in my house when I was on the farm. Didn't see that 2 weeks ago, did you? Another factor in the game actually was the punter, Max Duffy. Although he was somewhat responsible for the only points of Mississippi State on a bad snap over his head, immediately following that safety, Duffy was given a free kick from his own 20 and kicked it about 80 yards as it reached the other team's end zone. Duffy pinned Mississippi State inside their own 10 three times. Punters don't move point spreads out in the desert, but Max Duffy did make a difference in last night's game. Where Kentucky struggled, as we've predicted for a long time on this show, offense. 84 yards rushing, 73 yards passing. The last time an SEC team won a game when gaining less than 160 yards, 2014. So if Kentucky thinks they can go out and start winning games in this fashion with a lousy offense, hoping to get six interceptions every night, good luck. Although they had only one turnover on offense, bottom line favorite, using the term favorite very loosely, Terry Wilson simply was not a good player last night. His QBR, 33.9 out of 100. But unlike the previous two games when Wilson played well and was still outplayed by the opposing quarterback, Wilson played lousy last night and was better than the other quarterback on the field. Of his eight completions, only four went to wide receivers, which means Kentucky wide receivers had fewer receptions than the defense had interceptions. A.J. Rose fumbled again. You have to wonder why A.J. Rose keeps getting all the carries, and Christopher Rodriguez, who had seven carries for 38 yards compared to eight for 22 for Rose. You have to wonder why Rose still gets all the action over Rodriguez, but I digress. Hopefully in the future, for Kentucky's sake, Rodriguez will get more action. Kentucky came into this game fourth of the nation in rushing, and yet only 15 running plays went to running backs last night. But what's going to be the buzz about this team this coming week? I think you already know. And if you're a listener to this show, you know where we're going. We've got a controversy, ladies and gentlemen. a quarterback controversy. Joey Gatewood, he was warming up early in the fourth quarter when the game was kind of still in doubt, and finally got in the game on the last series. After last night's dud, Terry Wilson is now ranked 10th in QBR in the SEC. Remember, he ranked 13th out of 14 SEC quarterbacks in 2018 and would have ranked 13th last season if you prorated his numbers out from the first two games he played last season. So Wilson is settling into his usual numbers, even though many in the media around here thought his new haircut and new attitude this summer would mean a completely changed player. Are those good enough numbers to keep his job? We'll see. Wilson should start this week against Tennessee. He will start this week. A place where he played terribly in 2018 in one of Kentucky's three losses that entire season. But that hook just got a little bit quicker. I wouldn't be shocked to see Gatewood on the field at some point versus the Vols this week. So do we have a quarterback controversy today? Not really. But that's subject to change very soon, and as soon as next Saturday. So Kentucky finally wins and covers, making them 1-2 straight up against the spread. And now we look forward to Kentucky traveling to Knoxville, Tennessee next Saturday. Kentucky can't beat Tennessee playing the same way they did this week, obviously. Tennessee was leading Georgia at the half yesterday, but was blown out in the second half. A win over Kentucky would put them back on Kentucky's expected pace. We had them before the season of 5 wins before their upset loss to Ole Miss last week. If they take down an upset over Tennessee, now you're back on course to what was expected. Tennessee will be a decent favorite in this game, probably around a touchdown. We'll see when the lines come out later today. If you really think Kentucky's going to go down and pull off the upset, good for you. The desert and our numbers say that's a bad bet. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1392.5, the bottom line with Brad Taylor. Hey, we got football today. The Bengals, unlike what looks like it's going to happen with the Titans and the Patriots, because they've had COVID issues this morning, both those facilities are shut down in case you're making your fantasy lineups or getting your action in for the day, if you know what I'm saying. The Bengals, 11.5-point dog at Baltimore today. You can hear that game on 92.1 Classic Rock. Joe Burrow, his quarterback rating? Well, it depends on where you look. If you look at ESPN QBR, he's 24th out of 33 quarterbacks in the league. But if you look at Pro Football Focus, a very more trusted analytical site, he ranks 9th out of 34 quarterbacks in the league. So who do you trust? The results or the analytics? It's a little bit of both. We'll put him in the middle of those two. But this is an AFC North divisional battle. Two young quarterbacks, Burrow and the Bengals, 1-2-1 straight up, but 3-1 against the spread. They just got their first win of the season last week, beating the Jaguars as a 1-point home favorite. Of course, the Ravens, we all know about them, 3-1, 3-1 against, 2-2 against the spread. Came back from their Monday night loss to the Chiefs with a very unflattering game against the Washington football team last week, in which they barely did not cover the point spread. This line opened with Baltimore 13-point home favorite. We've seen some smart money back the Ravens, which has pushed this line up. But as we get closer to game time, this line has definitely gone towards the Bengals. Now, as we see 11.5 this morning, Cincinnati has value. Road divisional dogs, we always like those guys. Sharps seem to be expecting a lower scoring game. Total has dropped from 52 to 51. Point differential on the season. Baltimore has scored 49 points in their opponents. The Bengals are dead even. So that's a good sign for the Bengals, making an improvement over last year, that terrible defense they had. Bengals 2-0 on the road this year, covering the spread. The Ravens have been covering spreads at a high rate, averaging over 4 points over the spread in 4 games so far this year. When you have a team beating the spread by that much, on average, over 4 points, like the Ravens are, going against them, you cover 57.6% of the time. That's 264 up, 194 down. That means we like the Bengals today on the road. Can they go 3-0 against the spread on the road this year? We think they can. In fact, it's a Mac Daddy Stogie pick. Give us the Bengals today, getting all those points in Baltimore. Nobody's got faith in the Bengals. Same old, sorry, you know what, Bengals. Give us all those points in the against the Ravens today. We'll take our chances with the Mac Daddy Stogie on the Bengals. And our pizza money prop, we're looking for a sponsor for this from a pizza place. The opposite of Little Country Pizza would be a great one if they're listening to this show, which they might be because I talked to them this week. A.J. Green has been awful this year. It's over for him as a fantasy star. Pro Football Focus has him ranked as the fourth best wide receiver on his own team. By the way, Pro Football Focus also has Tyler Boyd, the third best wide receiver in the NFL, just saying. But the NFL is an ebb and flow league. The desert says 3.5 receptions for A.J. Green today. Twice this year, A.J. Green has got 5 catches in a game, and the other one he got 3. So it's not like he's terrible. He's just not performing up to his usual standards. But the public has driven this line down, and that's what we love to see. We like it when the public drives a line the other way. We'll take A.J. Green over today. Over 3.5 receptions. You're getting a little juice. That's your pizza money prop of the day. A.J. Green over 3.5 receptions. You can take those bad boys to the desert and smoke them. ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5 FM. It's the Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Coming up after the break, more college football, and we'll get to the Major League Baseball playoffs and the NBA, whose season could end today. But first, Clark's Auto Service. Bill Clark and his staff, they take care of my car, and they're the best in the business of what they do. 764 Westland Drive. Make sure to check them out, clarksautolexington.com. They are the best in the business. My car runs like a dream. That's Clark's Auto Service, clarksautolexington.com. More college football and the Major League Baseball and NBA playoffs after the break right here on ESPN Radio and 1300 and 92.5. ESPN Radio 1300 92.5. It's the Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday morning. It looks like the poop has hit the fan in the NFL. Breaking news, the Pats-Broncos game moved to next Sunday. It was originally scheduled for tomorrow night. Now it's going to be on Sunday next week due to coronavirus outbreaks. And, of course, the Titans, somebody else contracted the virus, and now they have closed down their facility today. If you're in any kind of fantasy league, if you're trying to get any kind of action down on these games, it is so tricky right now. It's like, how can I trust anybody? One team goes down. How do I know who's playing next week? If you're in a survivor pool and you're saving teams for certain weeks, just go with who you can today, who's playing. You're running to that point, especially in fantasy. If you got certain players on certain teams, and then all of a sudden, 5 hours before game time, oh, by the way, we're not playing. Yeah, that's a tough way to go about trying to get your cash for the season, if you know what I'm saying. So, yes, look out. Pats, Broncos, now it's next Sunday. Titans looks like it might be postponed because they had another positive test today. Yeah, act accordingly, if you know what I'm saying. Let's get back to college football from yesterday. The SEC, looks like the bottom feeders are better than we thought they were, while the top teams may not be as powerful as we thought they were. And another thing I got from college football yesterday, where's the defense? Is there any defense out there whatsoever? It's like all these games are high scoring. Everybody's putting up numbers. Did the COVID-19 take away all this defensive preparation? Apparently so, but it didn't mess with Clemson at all. Number one, Clemson blew out Miami, number 7 going into the game, easily covering our 14.5-point spread. And as we all know, Miami's back. I've heard that 5 times in the last 10 years. The Miami's back, yeah. Well, the U is not back. You can't spell fraud without the U. See what I did there? The U, fraud. There you go. Anyway, yeah, so Miami goes back to hiding like they used to. Another great game last night while the Kentucky game was going on. Number 2, Alabama defeated Ole Miss 63-48, but did not cover the 24-point spread. That's a lot of points to have to cover. Speaking of a lot, 1,370 yards combined for the two teams. Of course, Nick Saban today is saying that Lane Kiffin was stealing signs. Uh-huh. Yeah, way to go, Saban. Got to make up some excuse for giving up 48 points to a guy you used to curse out on your own sidelines. Yeah, congratulations. SEC record for those teams. But hey, Lane Kiffin, a.k.a. Daniel Tosh, yeah, congratulations on keeping that one close. Number 3, Georgia over number 14 for now. Tennessee, Kentucky's opponent next week. 44-21, Georgia covered at a 12.5-point favorite. The Georgia quarterback is a walk-on. When is the last time Kentucky got a walk-on quarterback that actually won games for them? Has that ever happened? Kentucky needs to get a really top-level 5-star quarterback. We need to get on Jeff Drummond. Who are these 5-star quarterbacks around the country? Where are they? Why don't they ever come to Kentucky? Another story for another day. Number 4, Florida, speaking of quarterbacks, was upset by Texas A&M in a game that the Gators were favored by 6 down in College Station, Texas. Of course, Phil Steele's reputation finally saved, for now anyway, by that game. Kellen Mond still not getting it done, but hey, he won yesterday. as an underdog. Texas A&M defeats Florida. And, of course, the old unranked trap. We tried to tell you people about this last week. The unranked trap popped up again yesterday. Number 22, Texas, lost to unranked Oklahoma, while Oklahoma was a three-point favorite. We're not the kind of guys that like to say we told you so, but we told you so. We tried to warn you. But always use the worthless AP poll to your advantage if you're trying to handicap games. And it goes like this. The unranked trap, college football and college basketball, anytime you see an unranked team favored out in the desert over a ranked team, regardless of the circumstances, who's at home, who's not playing, blah, 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 it doesn't matter, always take the unranked favored team. We rarely take favorites in college football or basketball, but this is a great spot to push the chalk. It happened last week with SMU. It happened this week with Oklahoma. Tune in next week to see when your next unranked trap will come in, because it's been easy money so far this year. Number 17, LSU, moved their game to Missouri because of the hurricane, and they regretted it because Missouri actually won the game as a 14-point underdog. That's out of three games now. LSU has lost twice straight up as a double-digit favorite. Yeah, Joe Burrow ain't walking through that door this year. These ranked teams didn't lose, but they didn't cover either. Notre Dame against Florida State. Why, what's happened to Florida State? They're terrible now. Anyway, Auburn over Arkansas on a joke of a call that robbed Arkansas of a win over Auburn. BYU also won against Texas San Antonio, but they didn't cover that huge point spread, 34.5. Covering ranked teams were North Carolina over Virginia Tech. What happened to Virginia Tech? It's been a long time since Michael Vick has walked the halls there. Our good friend Trey McCallie, he may need to give us some info on that one. And number 24, Iowa State, number 10, there were 10-point favorites over Texas Tech. They covered that. Look ahead to next week, easily. The best game of the week next week, number 3, Georgia, and number 2, Alabama. And you'll hear the old proverbial, a potential preview of the SEC championship game. You'll hear that all over TV this week. Alabama, probably going to be a bigger favorite than you'd think. Probably about a touchdown or so, because they're at home. I'd say maybe a little more than a touchdown, especially with Georgia's quarterback situation. Bama can put up points on anyone. They've proven that. But the Georgia defense is also as good as anyone, too. All the pressure on this one, like we said, on the Georgia walk-on quarterback, Stetson Bennett. Boy, he sounds like a Georgia quarterback. Stetson Bennett. Anyway. Number 1, Clemson next week travels to Atlanta to take on Georgia Tech. To my Atlanta guys who will be at that game, my condolences in advance, my friends. Sorry to tell you. Number 13, Auburn will go to South Carolina. Will Muschamp saved his job, at least for yesterday, by wiping Aunt Vandy. But who knows? Louisville goes to number 5, Notre Dame, who looks like they're the real deal this year. Cunningham always gives Louisville a puncher's chance against anybody. But tough to see Louisville compete when after the stinker they threw up in Atlanta against Georgia Tech last week. LSU goes to Florida. This game looked like it was a lot more competitive a month ago. Now the Gators should be a sizable favorite in this game. I'm thinking about a touchdown in that one, too. Number 21, Texas A&M will go to Mississippi State. Now, if you know what to expect in this game from Mississippi State, please call us at 381-1313 and let us know, because Mike Leach is a guy who, when you don't expect anything, gives you everything, and when you expect everything, gives you nothing, much like last night. Just saying. North Carolina, ranked number 8 somehow, goes to Florida State, another team that's fallen off the wheels. Charlie Ward and Deion Sanders ain't walking through that door. But that's neither here nor there. That's college football. One thing we're looking at right now is, after the break, the most profitable segment in Lexington radio. Our Mac Daddy Stogies. We'll be talking NBA. We'll be talking Major League Baseball playoffs. And we've got not 1, 2, 3, but 4 NFL games. All underdogs. All live dogs, if you know what I'm saying. But first, our good friend Jimmy Skinny McKinney. J&R Construction. That's Jimmy Skinny McKinney. He is the best in the home improvement business. He's offering virtual consultations right now. So just go to his website, jrcsi.com. All the information you need is there. He's our good friend, Jimmy Skinny McKinney. If you need any kind of home remodeling or improvements, he's the guy. I can promise you. I've seen his work. It's top shelf. Jimmy Skinny McKinney at J&R Construction, jrcsi.com. The most profitable segment at Lexington Radio coming up after the break. ESPN Radio, 1300, 92.5 FM. It's the Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. How you doing? How you feeling? How's your mom and him? On this blessed Sunday morning, we thank you so much for joining us. enough chit-chat, enough silliness. By the way, yes, if you, in case you haven't heard this morning, the Dolphins and Broncos Week 6 game, now rescheduled after the Broncos-Patriots game, moved to Week 6. So there you go. More fallout from today's Broncos-Patriots moving their game to next week. Now the Dolphins and Broncos have to move their game. This is going to become an absolute mess before this thing's over. I'm thinking they're going to have to add some weeks on the end of the season and make up some of these games, especially if the Titans don't play this week, which it looks like at this point they may not, because they're scheduled to play Tuesday at this point. It's ridiculous. It's becoming ridiculous. Can we? Don't you have like larger rosters? Can you not play the games with the guys that are tested positive? Can we put them off to the side? God bless them. We hope they heal quick. But you've got larger rosters this year for a reason. Let's just get the guys out there and play. I'm saying that as a guy who's enjoying the league, who's trying to, you know, get some entertainment value. May seem insensitive, but hey, let's just play these games. Because all this postponed is just making it a wreck for everybody. I digress. Enough chit-chat. Let's get to the Stogies. The most profitable segment in Lexington radio. Yes, there's an NBA Finals Game 6 going on tonight, where it looks like, maybe, the Lakers or a five-point favorite over the Heat. It looks like the Lakers will finish the job, or will they? If you're an NBA fan, you're looking at the Lakers right now, and you're thinking, I don't think I like the cut of their jib. They're not passing the eye test for me. Well, they're not passing the eye test for a lot of people right now, because they probably should have won this series a lot earlier than they have. But if the Lakers win the game tonight, which they probably will, five-point favorite, that means Big Blue Nation will be celebrating the NBA titles of Anthony Davis getting his first one. And yes, Rajon Rondo getting his second one. I can't upset the Big Blue Nation bean counters, because I'm contractually obligated to mention any player that has any remote ties to Kentucky here in Lexington that wins an NBA title. But we're really looking at taking the under here tonight. Since 2005, the NBA playoffs, if you go under the total in Game 6 or Game 7 in any round of the playoffs, you hit 59% of the time. That's 106 up, 75 down. And it's also hit 7 out of 10 times in these playoffs from inside the bubble. So we'll take the Lakers tonight as a 5-point favorite. We don't feel great about it, but we'll take them. Only because when you see the public money on one side in the NBA playoffs and they're favored, that usually hits at a 55% clip. But we really like the under tonight. And the NBA playoffs is the only time you ever want to take favorites on a large scale. Just go back over history. You'll see. Let's take the Lakers side of the favorite. But you're getting a lot of value on the under tonight, games 6 and 7. Lakers and under tonight. Lakers celebrate their NBA championship. Even though LeBron, does he deserve it after the game the other night? I don't know. We don't know. Who cares? So Lakers and under tonight. Major League Baseball playoffs continue. Started today with the LCS round. You can hear a lot of those games here on ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. In the National League, it's Braves and Dodgers. Dodgers are easily the better team here. The only advantage the Braves have right now is in the bullpen. Kenley Jansen struggling for the Dodgers. Don't know who will be closing. If Joe Kelly is closing for the Dodgers, the Braves get a much better chance, because the Braves bullpen looks a lot like the 1990 Reds at this point. But that won't be enough in this series. The biggest benefit the Braves have is playing in the bubble. I remember I moved to Atlanta in 1990. I know my mom's listening to this. It was one of the happiest days of her life. Yes, congratulations, Mom. In 1991, the Braves went from perennial losers throughout the entire decade of the 80s to suddenly winning. And I would go to those games in 1990 because they were cheap. And nobody was there, and I could get the cheapest seat there and just walk right down to the front row and watch a baseball game. But when they became good in 1991, it was incredible in the city of Atlanta. Never seen anything like it from a town supporting their team. That includes anything involving UK basketball. It was an incredible time to be in that city. I'll never forget it. But like most things in Atlanta, it didn't last. After blowing postseason series after postseason series throughout the 90s, Braves fans stopped caring about the playoffs to the point where it felt like home playoff games in Atlanta were road games, culminating in 2003 when the Cubs were playing in a decided Game 5 in the division series in Atlanta, and the fans were decidedly louder for the Cubs than the Braves in Atlanta. You don't think that's demoralizing for a team not to have a home field advantage? That's what people don't understand about Atlanta. They call it such a bad sports town. It's actually a great sports town. but nobody lives in Atlanta that was actually born and raised there. Most people are like me. They started and they went there for school or career or whatever. And, of course, don't get me started on the 1996 Olympics. That's another story for another day. The point I'm trying to make is no team benefits from being in the bubble in terms of home field advantage more than the Braves because they didn't have a home field advantage for so long of a time after the 1991 season. So while other teams miss playing in front of their fans, Braves don't miss it at all because the road teams usually have the advantage in the playoffs in Atlanta. But I digress. The Dodgers are a better team, though. The Braves, although they're an underdog, they don't have much value. They're not a big enough underdog. The team that has our value and is our personal favorite this year, of course, the Astros. Why are they our favorite team? Because we love teams that cheat. As a child of the 80s, I always rooted against Hulk Hogan. But he never lost. I didn't want to hear him taking your vitamins, staying in school, drinking your milk, listening to your parents, be a real American. I didn't want that. I liked any wrestler who had an evil manager and was from parts unknown. And hey, it's only cheating when you get caught. You mean to tell me the Astros are the only team that was doing what they were doing? Nobody else in the league was. The Astros were the only team doing it. That's what you're telling me? Uh-huh. But how can you root against the Rays anyway? The Rays are a small market team. Nobody goes to those games. They play in a dome. It looks desolate in there. It looks like a desolate theater. They've won 90 games 7 times in 13 years. That's going up against the Yankees and the Red Sox every year. And most of you can't name 5 players on the Tampa Bay Rays. And there's nothing wrong with that. If I actually had a life, I wouldn't know any of them either. So how can anyone with no rooting interest want the Astros to win over the Rays? Yes, the Astros cheated to win their World Series a few years ago. That's not opinion, but the GM and the manager of that team were fired for it. By the way, why aren't the Reds, whose GM, Dick Williams, resigned earlier this week, why aren't they going after former Astros general manager Jeff Lunau? Lunau built a World Series champion in St. Louis, built a World Series champion in Houston. He can't be better than the guys they've had in Cincinnati the last 30 years. Is that what you're telling me? Jeff Lunau is a free agent right now. He could be hired by anyone after this season. Are the Reds too good to cheat? I'd hire this guy in a second. He's proven it before. Okay, he was involved in some kind of cheating thing. You don't get a second chance in life? If you're the Reds, why not? It can't get much worse than it's been the last 30 years. Then again, I don't own a Major League Baseball team any very much either. But I'll be a little closer to owning a team after the Astros upset the Rays in the American League Championship Series. You can find them at about plus 160 right now. And statistically, this series is basically a toss-up. That's a lot of value on the Astros. So while everybody saw the Rays upset the Yankees last week, the Astros just minded their own time, playing the poor little Athletics. Nobody paid attention. And here come the Astros. Give us the team that it's embracing the hate. And I can promise you Major League Baseball is rooting for the Rays to take them out so that they don't have to deal with the World Series talking about cheating. We love it. Give us the Astros in an upset in the League Championship Series because, as we all know, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. And that leads us to the league where they play for pay. The NFL, 4 stogies to light up your day today here on ESPN Radio 1392.5. The bottom line with Brad Taylor. Carolina, 2.5-point underdog at Atlanta. Now, somebody please tell me, how can Atlanta be favored in this game? Both these teams are going in different directions. The Atlanta organization, I was talking to Vince Stover of the Sports Stove podcast before the season started. We had wagers on, friendly wagers, on who was going to be the first coach fired this year. The first name out of my mouth was Dan Quinn of the Falcons. How he survived after all this, I have no idea. The Falcons 0-4 straight up, 1-3 against the spread. They face the Panthers, who are 2-2 straight up, 2-2 against the spread. There's only 4 winless teams in the NFL, and the Falcons are one of them. They're coming off a 30-16 loss to the Packers on Monday night as only a 5-point dog. This line opened Atlanta, the 3.5-point favorite. Of course, the pros and the Joes have loaded up on the Panthers in this one. Line's dropping 2.5. Probably will drop more by game time. Carolina is a road divisional dog with a line move. That's a good value for us. We like to see that. And the Panthers have a little bit more of a rest because the Falcons did play on Monday night. A lot of money coming on the under on this game. Here's our trend. Take bad teams from the previous season in weeks 1 through 4 the following season. That's what Carolina was. Since 2003, when a team gets 5 games or less in one season, in weeks 1 through 4 the following season as a conference road dog, less than a touchdown. Those bad teams cover 60% of the time. 185 up, 121 down. Give us Carolina getting 2.5. Get it now before it gets a little smaller. Carolina 2.5 over Atlanta. Your first, Stogie. The Las Vegas Raiders, it's still hard to say that, getting 11 at Kansas City. Of course, we all know Patrick Mahomes. We all know the Chiefs. We all know Andy Reid. 4-0, 3-1 against the spread. And the Raiders, 2-2 straight up, 2-2 against the spread. They've lost 2 in a row after getting off to a fast start. Recently falling to the Bills, failing to cover as a 3-point home dog. Of course, Kansas City just came off an emotional game, beating the Patriots as an 11-point favorite. It's lined open the Chiefs at 11.5. It's still right around there. A lot of money early in the week went on KC to bump it up a little bit. Vegas, their point differential, not good. It's minus 19 on the season. Not a good sign, but hey, we're going to take the Raiders today. Here's our trend. We like to fade those covering teams. When a team's average margin of covering the spread is 5 or higher, like the Chiefs, and they're facing a team winning less than 67% of their games, like the Raiders, going against that team covers big, 54.5% of the time. Well, that's not a big percent. Well, your sample size is huge, 484 up, 404 down. Give us the Raiders. Give us 11 points. Give us the Raiders at Kansas City today. Game number 3 in our NFL picks, the Battle of Pennsylvania, the Eagles and the Steelers. After going winless the first 3 games, the Eagles finally bounced back with a win over San Francisco on Sunday night last week, winning as straight-up 7.5-point dogs. But, of course, Pittsburgh, same as they always are, 3-0 straight up, 2-1 against the spread. But they're coming off a forced bye week when they couldn't play the Titans due to the COVID-19. This line opened with the Steelers 7-point home favorites. This line has gone up. Now it's sitting at 7.5. The Eagles haven't been good this year. Minus 23-point differential. Steelers plus 22. Everything pointing to Pittsburgh. Let's take the Eagles in any game after week 2 since 2003 when one team is not covering 33% of the time, like the Eagles, and they face a team covering more than 50% of the time, like the Steelers. The team struggling to cover gets the money 62% of the time. It's 170 up, 104 down. Give us your tired, your poor, your weak, your huddled masses. Give us the Eagles getting 7.5 against Pittsburgh. And our final game. Why would you take a quarterback that's starting his first game for a new team? The Washington football team. Hail to the football team. Dwayne Haskins out. Kyle Allen in. That has to be an improvement for Washington, right? The Rams, 3-1 straight up, 2-2 against the spread. They beat the Giants, but we went against them last week on this show as huge favorites. They only won by 8. They were 13.5-point favorites. Washington has been dreadful of late, posting a come-from-behind win over the Eagles in week 1, but they've lost 3 straight. Now their first-round quarterback last year is a third-team quarterback right now. Here's the old fate where the West Coast team travels east for that 1 o'clock start. That's something people always look at in that one. The Rams playing great, plus 26-point differential. Washington, minus 33. Nobody's on Washington. Everybody's on the Rams. Of course, we're taking Washington. Hail to the football team. Are we sure they're that good? Here's our trend. Teams that didn't make the playoffs the previous season and are now a winning team in the first half of the following season, like the Rams. And now they're going against the team when they're favored. That hits 56.3% of the time. 279 up, 217 down. So that's a good way to take Washington. A lot of trends, a lot of numbers, I know. But here's our Mac Daddy Stogie picks. We're taking the under in the NBA Finals tonight with the Lakers and the Heat. We like the Astros. You're not cheating if you're not trying, as a good value pick in the American League Championship Series. And in the NFL today, Carolina getting 2.5 at Atlanta. The Raiders getting 11.5 at Kansas City. The Eagles getting 7.5 at Pittsburgh. And hail to the football team. Washington getting 7.5 at home against the Rams. You can take those Mac Daddies to the desert and smoke them. ESPN Radio 1392.5 FM. It's the Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday morning. Coming up after the break, we'll wrap things up, get you ready for the rest of your day here at ESPN Radio, and maybe, just maybe, talk to our good friend Angelo Carriero, if he gets here when he should. When he will. I have a hunch that he will. But first, you've always heard the term, a friend in need is a friend indeed. Of course, that's always true. But here on the Bottom Line, a friend in need is a pest. IPM Pest and Termite, our good friend Matt Schaefer. Now that the weather's changing outside, and if you've been outside this morning, you'd see what I'm talking about. Those bugs need to go somewhere for the winter. Don't let them go in your house. IPM Pest and Termite can take care of all your pest control needs. Make sure to get in contact with our good friend Matt Schaefer. MyIPM.com. That's MyIPM.com. We'll wrap it up right after the break here on ESPN Radio 1392.5. ESPN Radio 1392.5. It's the Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. We thank you for joining us on this Sunday morning. With us here in the studio is an old friend of ours. We're glad to see he's back, especially after seeing his front. It's Angelo Carriero. He's coming up right after us today on The Angelo Show. Angelo, I know that you've done painstaking show prep for your show today. Tell us what's coming up on your show right after the Bottom Line here on ESPN Radio.
I'm going to talk a little bit about Patrick Mahomes and his standing amongst the greatest of all time, because I saw some people on Twitter go a little overboard with the GOAT stuff, and I'd like to kind of quell that narrative just a little bit, even though he's started out as maybe the best 2 years starting in the history of the league, going on three. I'm going to talk about the UK Mississippi State game, and of course get my NFL picks for the week. Doing pretty good on that front. So
doing pretty good.
Pretty good.
We're pretty good. We went to top level here on the Bottom Line. It's all about cash and tickets.
I'm following your lead.
Well, if you followed our lead last week, 4 out of 4 gets a point spread in the NFL. We're just making people money here on the Bottom Line and the Angelo Show.
You would be a good football player. Short-term memories. Only remember what's been good.
You're absolutely right. Yes, because it's all about the Bottom Line. We don't matter. It doesn't matter to us. Hey, on ESPN Radio today, make sure to tune in. We got three games today. Raiders and Chiefs at 12:30. We got the Giants and the Cowboys at 4. And on our sister station, Classic Rock 92.1, it's the Bengals and the Ravens, 1 o'clock. So make sure to join us for that. We thank you so much for listening to The Bottom Line. We really appreciate your feedback. It's been really good to hear what the people are talking about us. So make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. Stay tuned for The Angelo Show right here on ESPN Radio coming up next. And until the next time, as always, may the winners be yours.